Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you for that amazing prayer that asks you to come and enter into our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would do that. Lord, for every one of us here, Lord, whether we are in church kind of for the first time, or Lord, whether we've known you for a long time, Lord, I pray that you would come and you'd speak to us, even through these moments, through these words now. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Great to see you here. My name's Tim, and one of the leaders here, and I love Christmas, and I guess many here love Christmas. Do you love Christmas? Yeah. Isn't Christmas wonderful? One of the things I love about Christmas is all the songs and all the music, the wonderful carols we've just been singing, the amazing classical music. My nephew's just been singing Handel's Messiah in St. Paul's Cathedral this past week, and all those amazing Christmas songs. And I was looking at the top 50 Christmas songs. I don't know if you ever done that, looked at like the most popular songs ever. And something was really surprising. And that was how many of the songs are kind of tinged with sadness. I wonder if you've ever noticed that. Actually, some of the most popular songs are actually quite sad. Here are three of the most popular Christmas songs. I wonder if you can recognize this first one. We're just going to play a little clip. Recognize that one? Yeah, Fairy Tale of New York, The Pogues. It's all about someone who is kind of down in the gutter, down on their luck, really struggling. What about this one? This is World of Wonder. Yeah? Let them know it's Christmas. Let who know? Those who are starving. It's about people starving. This is the third one. Again, it's a very popular one. I was surprised that my children knew this song as well. It's a song from the 80s. Do you know this one? Should we try and sing this one together? Harry? Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. Isn't that sad? I mean, that's not a very cheerful message, is it? And do you know, John Lewis also chose a really sad song for their advert this year. If you haven't seen it, here's the John Lewis advert. I'm honestly not paid to show this. Listen to the words of the song. One day, I'll fly away. This is a song about longing to be free, to get out of the situation you are in. Do you ever long to fly away, Perhaps you're facing something at the moment, financial situation, a job situation, something at school, a relationship that's not working out, and you know what it is to long to fly away. Do you know, I think the reason these sad songs connect with us is because at Christmas, as well as celebration, we're often very aware of the trouble, aren't we? The challenges, the difficulties of this life. I mean, you can guarantee that as soon as Christmas is over, we will be bombarded with adverts offering to fly us away to places like this. Yeah? You know, get away from all the stress and the trouble that has been Christmas. But the holiday, if you can ever afford it, it always ends. And it never quite delivers what we long for. There's a deeper longing that we have. Do you ever wonder what that deeper longing is? Well, it can be summed up, I think, in one word. Peace. Peace. Peace instead of conflict in our world. Peace in our relationships. Peace instead of worry and anxiety in our minds. We long for peace. But how do you get it? This is why we should be very interested in that first Christmas, because an offer of peace is declared by the angels. That's what was being so beautifully read in those international readings. That was the very first, one of the very first Christmas songs that was ever sung. It's known as the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which is Latin and means glory to God in the highest. This is about something glorious. And if you've forgotten it, here it is up on the screen. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Why are the angels so excited? Well, they're excited because they see the prospect of peace coming to a troubled world. Peace coming to people. I mean, to be at peace in a world like this is probably the greatest gift you could ever have. And tonight I want to briefly talk about how you can discover this peace. Two things I want to share. First is this: peace comes from God. Peace comes from God. One of the reasons we fail to experience peace is because we haven't realized where true peace comes from. We're often trying to get peace from things that can't really give it. So we say, if I can just sort out my finances, or if I can just sort out that relationship, if I can just finish that bit of work. Do you ever do this? If I can just get everything sorted for Christmas, then I can be at peace. But the problem with trying to get peace through those sort of circumstantial things is it's so fragile, because those things can change so quickly. And that was the situation at the time of Jesus' birth. There was what is known as a period in history called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. And Pax, to the Romans, it meant an end to hostilities, but it was kind of the winner saying to the loser, we're not going to fight anymore. Yeah, it was an enforced peace, an imposed peace. And because it was basically the peace of the dictator, it was always temporary. Yeah, this is the peace of someone like Assad. Yeah, it's not real peace. It's the winner saying to the loser, let's live at peace. It's enforced. You take a look around our world and you can see our track record on peace. So much violence, so much conflict. But it's not just in places like Syria with full-scale war. We see it in our own nation. We see it in our own lives. You see the number of marriages breaking. You see the levels of domestic violence. You see the stories of abuse that keep emerging. Or just the extraordinary numbers of people who are plagued with anxiety and depression and guilt and fears. We might experience some temporary periods of peace, but it is always temporary. But the ancient Hebrew concept of peace, the peace the Bible speaks of, is very different. It's rooted in the word shalom, It's a Hebrew word. Do you want to say that with me? Shalom. It's a beautiful word. This word is huge. It means wholeness, completeness, health, security, prosperity. It carries with it this sense of permanence. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that sort of peace? Well, the Bible says God is peace. God is peace. One of his names is the Lord is Shalom. The Lord is peace. Jesus, even before he was born, was given the name Prince of Peace. True peace. You can never get that sort of peace if you are disconnected from the God who made this world and made you. Peace comes from God. And that's our problem. We've lost peace because we've lost relationship with the God who made us. The God who is peace. The Bible likens it to running away. Anyone here ever run away? Let me tell you about the first time I ran away, okay? First time. I was a toddler. My rebellion started very early. We were on holiday. We just arrived at the hotel complex. And we were being shown to our rooms. We had all the luggage and everything. And as we were being shown to our hotel room, I spotted in the middle of the complex, swimming pool. Now, if you know me, you'll know I love water. And I saw this swimming pool, and without my parents realizing, as they're being shown to the room, I ran for the pool. And I jumped straight in. And I mean, the good news was I could swim. I learned to swim like from birth. I was just kind of one of these water babies. The bad news was I could only swim underwater. I hadn't learned to come up and take a breath. Yeah, so there I was swimming away at the bottom of the pool thinking I was free, not aware that I was about to drown, about to lose my life. By running off, actually, I was in deep trouble. Do you know, when we run off, not just from our parents, but from the God who made us, we may think we're fine. We may think, oh, I'm swimming away. And not realize that actually we're in deep trouble. That we've lost connection with the only one who can deal with this troubled world and our troubled minds. The angels sing glory to God in the highest because they finally see the answer. There's something coming, something different. C.S. Lewis famously wrote this: if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. How do I get this peace from another world? Well, look what the angels sing. They actually tell us the answer. Here's the song. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace. Who's it for? To those on whom his favor rests. The angels promise peace for certain people. Here's the controversial bit. Peace, second point, peace comes only to those God is pleased with. So who is God pleased with? Is God pleased with you? God pleased with me? People react in all kinds of different ways to that question. Some people immediately get worried because they know they've made a bit of a mess of life. Others, you know, not worried at all because they think they're pretty good. Assume that God, if God exists, would be pleased with them. Others kind of react with outrage. How could God favor some people and not others? I mean, that's so exclusive. Isn't that precisely what's wrong with religion? Good question. Many of us will be reacting like that right now. And the reason we do that is because we assume that Christianity is basically like kind of all main religions. You know, most religions basically teach, you know, do good things, things will go okay for you. You know, life is about trying to please God or to get good karma in the hope of some reward. You know, when you think like that, you end up with a picture of God a bit like Father Christmas. What does Father Christmas ask children? Have you been good this year? I mean, that question used to terrify me, particularly the year bit. It's like good for a whole year. I mean, how is that remotely possible? Is that the angel's message? Have you been good? Be good, you might get the favor of God. Some people assume that God divides the world into good people and bad people. Others think there's no division. God's just going to show his favor to everyone. Which is it? Well, actually, both views are wrong. The Bible is much more realistic than that. The Bible says the truth. And the truth is that we have all failed, haven't we? We've all messed up. I mean, if you just examine your own heart for a minute, you know it's true. We've made a mess. We've run off, done our own thing. And it's like we're drowning at the bottom of a swimming pool. Everyone, apart from one, there's been one person in the history of humanity who has never run off. One person who lived a perfect life. And at Christmas, we celebrate that one's birth. His name is Jesus Christ. God said of Jesus, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This one has my favor." Do you know, the John Lewis song is all about flying away. The problem is, if you're at the bottom of a pool, you can't fly away. You can't even get out of the pool and go back to your parents where you should have been. Now, what I needed at that moment was rescue from someone who wasn't also drowning. I needed someone to jump in and help me. And thankfully, someone did. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. Do you know, Christmas is about Jesus, as it were, jumping into the pool to rescue us, to help us, to save us. You know, God doesn't just look on at a distance. He's not a distant God. He's a God who became flesh, became a human being, jumped in to rescue. He came because none of us are good. Jesus came in the most extraordinary way to actually share his favor with us. This perfect one. And this is what the cross is all about. This perfect one who has the favor of God dies in the place of those who don't have the favor of God and says, "You can have my favor. I will take your place. You can be in my place." Jesus became like us so that we could become like him. Extraordinary exchange. Isn't that amazing? His offer of forgiveness. Peace was lost through our disobedience. It is regained through Christ's obedience. His offer of hope, his offer of relationship, his offer of eternal life, his life for my life. But here's the thing. It's not an enforced peace. He's not a dictator. It's an offer. It's a gift. He allows us to choose to receive forgiveness or not, to have peace with God or not. You have to decide whether you want it. And if you do, you can ask Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come and meet with you, to forgive you, to bring peace to you. And you can use this prayer that I'm going to pray to do that. But before you pray this prayer, these aren't magic words. This is about your heart. This is about actually choosing to say, "Jesus, I accept your rescue." This is about saying to Jesus, "I'm not going to run off anymore. I'm going to follow. I'm going to go your way." And if you want to do that, If you want to invite this Jesus into your life, then I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. You can pray out loud. Perhaps there'll be quite a few of us praying this prayer. You don't have to. It's not enforced. But here's the prayer. It's actually just an adaptation of the beautiful prayer that the choir just sang. But it's personal. Descend to me, I pray. Feel free to pray this with me if you want to. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel. And Lord God, I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that we would come to know you as the God who is with us, the God of peace. Lord, for any who've prayed that prayer for the very first time, Lord, draw near to them. Lord, reveal yourself to them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you know, one of the reasons we can have peace is because of the truth of the song that the choir are going to sing right now. It's called He Shall Reign Forevermore. Thank you, choir.